From Lindsay Lohan to David Hasselhoff to Brendan Fraser to Heath Ledger, it seems that Hollywood spares no one that dares enter its pearly gates in search of their dream job, making lots of money and getting their ass constantly kissed for very little work. Whether that be an addiction, an embarrassing video drunkenly eating a hamburger, an ugly divorce, or even death, one way or another, all who enter Hollywood pay a price, some more than others. For many of those who worked on the hit children's television series Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, tragedy and death came entirely too soon. As the old saying goes, the flame that burns twice as bright burns half as long. Greed, misfortune, murder, and more. Is there some sort of curse on the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers?
Welcome back to episode number 32 of Super Mystery Bros. And back with me again is the Pink Shoelace Ranger, Kyle. Kyle, how are you, man?
I'm doing good. I'm glad you remember about the pink shoelace.
How could I forget? You got anything to say up front?
I do not believe so.
All right. Well, before we begin, I'd like to just apologize to all of our listeners for being a week late on this episode. I mean, we try to keep a bi-weekly schedule going, but sometimes we're just not able to keep it. So I apologize. Kyle, do we plan to release a bonus episode next week?
There is some talk about us doing a bonus episode next week.
Yeah. So if that happens, it's not going to affect the normal episode schedule. It's not going to bump out the next episode. So it's just going to be purely a bonus. We don't make any money off this show. We do it for the benefit of all mankind. But sometimes money and other things in life sort of have to take a front seat. So if there's anyone out there who wants to pay me about $5,000 a month, I'll gladly quit my job and release new episodes every week. Kyle, before we begin, I do have a question for you.
Yeah, shoot.
What can people do if they want to lend us a hand as we attempt to morph this podcast from a shitty dino pod into a megapod?
Well, for one, if more people actually started listening to the episodes, that would be super. For those who are listening, if you could please drop us a rating and or review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever medium you like to use to enjoy the show. You can also drop us a line at supermysterybrospodcast@gmail.com. We also have an Instagram account if you want to check us out via social media. And last but certainly not least, if you would like to debate any of the finer points of these episodes with real professional internet trolls, we are now on YouTube as well.
Yeah, so if you're on YouTube, just like and subscribe and leave any comment at all. It doesn't matter. Like, leave a semicolon in the comment box. It doesn't matter. It just helps us in the algorithm. Anything else, Kyle?
Happy Star Wars Day, everybody.
Oh, yeah. May the 4th, huh?
Yeah, may the 4th be with you.
All right, man. Are you ready to get into this one?
Ready.
All right. Well, before we begin on this one, I do have a personal story that I want to tell up front. And I want to tell this story because this show actually touched me personally. And it's relevant because it goes to show just how fucking awesome and how great a people some of the original cast members of this show were. So when I was about 5 years old, this show came out and I was instantly hooked on it. I was fucking obsessed with it like many kids of the time were. Kyle, were you also obsessed with this one?
Oh, absolutely. I was jealous of any other kid that had a Power Rangers toy that I did not have.
Yeah, so my dad knew a guy who was doing some work on the show. And I don't remember exactly what type of work it was, but my dad asked him if he could get an autograph to surprise me with. And the fucking entire cast came through for me. And they gave me a black and white photo of the Power Rangers lined up in front of Zordon. And it was signed by everyone on the show. All five of the Power Rangers addressed to me, Nathan, with like personal, like little personal messages, you know. Even the two bullies, Bulk and Skull, signed it. And I remember this because the message they wrote for me was something along the lines of, evil will win because good is dumb. And yeah, it was just, you know, corny as fuck. But I was so stoked when this happened. I think even the guy who played Zordon signed it too. But anyway, like they also showered me with a care package of Power Rangers toys. And the one that I remember the most was this giant action figure of the Red Ranger, and it was about a foot tall. It was just amazing. So I want to just start this episode out by just expressing my deep respect for pretty much all of the people involved in the making of this show, at least the first season of it, because I grew out of this show pretty quick. But I want any of our listeners out there who happen to be sitting on a curb somewhere drinking a 40 to just pour some out for each of the fallen homies as we move through this episode. This episode's hit close to home for me because just knowing how wonderful these people were and then reading about the tragedies that happened to them, it sort of breaks my fucking heart. So I can't emphasize enough just how much I love and respect them for taking the time and caring enough to light up the life of some stupid little 5-year-old kid who loved their show. They didn't have to do that, but it's something I've always remembered and I'm never going to forget. So
that's fucking awesome, man. Yeah. Do you still have that picture?
Yeah. So I have no idea where the autograph is right now. You know, as you know, I moved overseas and I'm not sure if it remains somewhere in the family, but since doing this episode, I'm feeling like a deep pit in my heart about it. And I hope to God that either my mom has it or it's stashed away somewhere safe with some other family member. My dad passed away in 2008 and a lot of his stuff was thrown out by other family members. And I hope to God that it wasn't among the stuff that was thrown out.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause that's an awesome piece of history right there.
Yeah. And so, you know, some of the people who are now gone signed that. So
yeah.
Kyle, why don't you, you get into this one? Just kick this one off.
Sounds good. Since the dawn of civilized man, and perhaps even before, humanity has been attempting to both harness the power of the paranormal to bring good fortune, health, and luck to their own lives, while weaponizing it to smite their enemies. Curses, as they're known, have been conjured up, or at least attempted, for thousands of years by master practitioners of witchcraft and even amateur occult enthusiasts. From the cursed tombs of ancient Egypt to the voodoo dolls of pop culture, which turns out voodoo dolls have really nothing to do with voodoo at all, are just mostly a product of Hollywood. Humans have been attempting to harness the power of the supernatural to enact furious vengeance upon those who have wronged them in some way. But sometimes, these alleged curses have a clear pattern to them, but seem to have no rhyme or reason. Horrible tragedy, death, misfortune, and more have befallen many actors and actresses of the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers TV series and movies, which begs the question, has there been a curse placed on this show? And if so, by who? And why? And most important of all, could you be next? Stay tuned to find out.
Holy shit. But to understand the curse, let's start by giving a little background on the show. On August 28th, 1993, the very first episode of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers aired on Fox Kids. I actually remember watching it on the first day it came out, and I was instantly hooked on it. What about you? Do you know if you watched the series premiere of this?
I do not know if I watched it when it came out, like on the day. I'm too young to remember that, but I do know that I was very into the original series.
I definitely remember the day that this first aired, and I just instantly was hooked. So
man, 93, yeah. Man, that's a long time ago. That's a very powerful impression.
Yeah. So a quick rundown on the plot of the show is as follows. 10,000 years ago, the wise old sage Zordon engages in an epic battle with the evil Rita Repulsa, an alien sorceress, on the Earth, besting her in combat and subsequently locking her inside of a dumpster on the moon, which I'm not making that up. He then creates a command post in the desert outside what would later become the fictional city of Angel Grove, California, and creates the Power Morphers, Power Coins, and Dinozords. More on this later. 10,000 years later, two astronauts on the moon stumble upon the dumpster, and upon prying it open, accidentally release the evil alien sorceress Rita Repulsa and her minions from their 10,000 years of confinement. Zordon, who by this point is just the blurry head of a fat bald guy floating inside what appears to be the neck of a giant bong, tasks his assistant Alpha 5, an annoying and effeminate robot, to select five quote-unquote teenagers with attitude, or TWA, not to be confused with NWA, to help stop Rita in her quest for world domination. The teens selected are Jason Lee Scott, the Red Ranger, Zach Taylor, the Black Ranger, Kimberly Hart, the Pink Ranger, Trini Kwan, the Yellow Ranger, and Billy Cranston, the Blue Ranger. And Zordon bestows upon them the Power Morphers, Power Coins, and Dinozords to help them in their fight against Rita and her minions, the Putties, who look like humans dressed in skin-tight gray suits that make turkey noises as they fight the Power Rangers and always get their asses easily handed to them. Kyle, give me your best impression of a Putty. It's pretty fucking good, man.
Right?
The Power Rangers also have Zords, which are animal-based fighting vehicles. The Red Ranger has a T-Rex. The Yellow Ranger has a saber-toothed tiger. The Pink Ranger has the pterodactyl. The Blue Ranger has the triceratops. And the Black Ranger has the mastodon. And through their powers combined, they can come together to form the Megazord, which is a giant-ass battle robot. One of the rules they must follow is that they must keep their identity secret. No one should know that they are the Power Rangers, or else they will lose their powers. Allegedly. When the five teenagers aren't fighting Rita and her putty minions, they're often seen being bullied in school by the dumb punks Bulk and Skull, who are constantly hitting on Trini and Kimberly, respectively, without having any clue that they're secretly the Power Rangers. The series deals with epic battles, martial arts fight scenes, big-ass battle robots, cringy comic relief, and 90s teenagers and their stupid problems.
So speaking of big-ass battle robots, which Zord was your favorite Zord? Like, which individual piece, which dinosaur was your favorite?
Oh, dude, I was all about the Red Ranger. And the reason is just by default, you know, because, like, I don't know, I just latched onto the Red Ranger. The T-Rex was, like, the coolest one to me. So, obviously, that's who I wanted to be when I grew up.
Yeah, you and everyone else.
Exactly.
Everyone wants to be
the
main character. Yeah, the main character in the coolest color, in the T-Rex, the coolest dinosaur.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll admit, I think my favorite was the Triceratops because it was a tank. It was actually a tank, right? And I think the horns were like cannons. Mm-hmm. So like it seemed like the only Zord that could actually hold its own if it didn't form up to be a Megazord.
They could shoot those like grappling hook things onto enemies and like pull it down to the ground too.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on here. Most of the fight scenes of the Power Rangers were adapted from footage from the Japanese TV series Kyoryu Sentai Zuyu Ranger. I hope I'm pronouncing that right, which breaks my heart as I read that on Wikipedia. My entire childhood was a fucking lie. Even Rita Repulsa was played by a Japanese actress from the other show and whose voice was entirely dubbed over in English, seemingly unaware at the time that footage of her character was going to be recycled into a completely unrelated American children's TV show. That's about it for the first season, though. There are like 30 seasons of this shit now, and there's no way I'm going over all of them, but that's the genesis of the show in a nutshell. The show was an overnight sensation and became a pillar of the 90s pop culture community. Action figures, Halloween costumes, and other crap began flying off the shelves in Toys R Us's across the nation, and the creators of the show were undoubtedly making money hand over fist. However, a dark black cloud would linger over an endless ocean of green, as many of those involved in the show began to meet with horrific fates, untimely deaths, tragic accidents, greed, murder, mayhem, and more, causing many to wonder, if there was some sort of supernatural work at play, as it seems statistically too high for it to be mere coincidence.
The first rumblings of trouble with the show started with David Yost, who played Billy Cranston, the original Blue Ranger, who abruptly left the show in 1996, later revealing in a 2010 interview that he walked off set during lunch one day after he had been called a quote-unquote one too many times by creators, producers, writers, and directors.
Whoa, man, you dropped an F-bomb on this show?
Yeah, I did. Got to be careful with that.
Yeah.
That's why I quoted it. It was quoted right here in front of me.
Yeah, just for the record, that's not Kyle calling him that. So don't come at us, bro.
I would never, bro. Yeah. All right. Continuing on with the quotes. Quote, it's not that people can't talk about me and have their opinion about me, but continuing to work in an environment like that is really difficult. And I myself was struggling with who I was or what I was. And to be made fun of on some level, or to be stereotyped or put into a category, basically I just felt like I was continually being told I'm not worthy of being here, of being where I am, because I am quote unquote a gay person, and I'm not supposed to be an actor, and you can't be a superhero, end quote. According to Entertainment Weekly, Yost even checked himself into gay conversion therapy shortly after. Quote, I put myself through conversion therapy because I didn't want to be gay. And I really struggled and struggled and struggled with it, says Yost. And unfortunately, I had a nervous breakdown and I checked into a hospital for 5 weeks and sort of had to start the process of learning to accept myself, which was very difficult. It took me many years after the fact, end quote. Yost would later accept his sexuality and move on with his life as an openly gay man. Despite leaving the show on sour terms, David Yost returned to his rightful role as the Blue Ranger Billy Cranston in the 2023 Netflix movie Power Rangers Once and Always, and the 2023 reboot of the series Power Rangers Cosmic Fury.
Wow, man.
Wow, man.
Yeah. What do you want to say about that?
You know, I just want to say, you know, people are people, you know.
Even in 1996, man, that's kind of fucked up. I mean, the 90s were a different time, definitely, but even in 96, dude, that's kind of fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel bad for David, dude. That's pretty rough, like, being gay and being told that that's not okay, so you go to anti-gay conversion therapy to turn you straight, which is, it doesn't work. It's not a real thing, you know? But it's good to know that he is now, you know, he's now accepted his sexuality. He's not hiding it or fighting it anymore.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on here. The first notable mention involving the curse, although not a direct link, appears to involve the Black Ranger Zack, played by the African-American actor Walter Jones, who has been known to fight putties breakdance style and cause the fight sequence music to morph into hip-hop style as he does it, which sounds kind of racist to me, man.
It might be.
It was discovered that he was missing the middle finger on his left hand and rumors began to swirl that he met with an accident while on set. However, it was later confirmed that he had lost it in some sort of accident at the age of 4. So, this isn't part of the curse per se, but it is an honorable mention. I never noticed that, by the way.
Me neither. You know, but you also got to remember, we were little kids and we were watching this on teeny tiny tube TVs. Like, there was no ultra high def where you could, you know, notice if someone like scratched themselves shaving that morning.
And I never know. And I never noticed that they would be like in California. And then in the fight sequences, it was clearly Tokyo or some shit like that.
Yeah.
This stupid little kid shit, man.
The first alleged victim of the curse came for actor Robert L. Manahan, who voiced Zordon, the omnipotent bestower of power upon the five teenagers. The face that floats inside the neck of a bong or some weird beam of light thing or time warp, whatever. On June 30th, 2000, just 2 years after leaving the show, Manahan passed away of a heart aneurysm suddenly at the young age of just 43. Wow, he was on the show until 2000?
Yeah, so there were two people who voiced Zordon, and I think Manahan was like the second guy who did it. I'm not quite sure, but I think he was like the second voice of Zordon.
Yeah. Episode 21 of Power Rangers Lightspeed Rescue, titled The Fifth Crystal, was dedicated in his memory.
How do you feel about Zordon?
Well, you know, I very recently rewatched the very first Power Rangers episode. It was very nostalgic, right? Brought back a lot of memories. And Zordon seemed kind of useless, aside from giving the Power Rangers their power, you know. But
useless we other kids, than giving them the power.
Yeah.
He's like the linchpin of the entire series. And you're like, yeah, pretty much useless.
It's just as weird. Yeah. Dude, it was so weird because like I could barely make out a face. Like watching it on like a modern TV.
Yeah.
Right. Like you realized how bad the graphics were.
It was pretty fucking bad.
Yeah. But you know, as a kid, yeah, he was like this superpower, this genius floating head, you know, just all respect. He was the only elder in the show because everyone else was teenagers.
Yeah, pretty much. Anyway, moving on. The second alleged victim of the curse involved actress Tui Trong, the Vietnamese-American actress who played Trini Kwan, the original Yellow Ranger, which, again, sounds kind of racist to me, man. According to PowerRangers.fandom.com, she was born in 1973 in Saigon, Vietnam, and her father was a soldier for the ARVN, which is the Army of the Republic of Vietnam. But once the North overran the South, he was granted political asylum by the U.S. in 1975. And in 1979, the rest of the family, including Toy, her mother, two brothers, and a sister, fled the country aboard a cargo ship to Hong Kong. Tui was very ill during the journey, and she barely survived, only to end up living in a Hong Kong detention camp for a year before asylum was finally granted to her family in 1980, reuniting in Little Saigon, California. When she was 18, her father died of cancer, and her plan was to go to college to study engineering at UC Irvine, but her plans changed when a talent scout found her in 1992. She starred in TV commercials and advertisements before landing the role of Trini Kwan in The Power Rangers, which she starred in for a season and a half before leaving due to what is rumored to be pay reasons. However, about 8 years after her role as Trini Kwan, tragedy would strike. On September 3rd, 2001, Trang was traveling as a passenger in her car with her friends on the 5 freeway traveling between San Francisco and Los Angeles. She was to be the bridesmaid to Angela Rockwood, former wife of 21 Jump Street's Dustin Nguyen, when the driver of the car lost control as she drove over some gravel, swerving violently across the road before slamming into the roadside rock face and flipping several times before then plunging down an embankment. Angela survived, as, luckily, she was not wearing her seatbelt and she was conveniently flung out of the window of the car, but her spinal cord was severed and she was left as a quadriplegic.
Is that really lucky then?
Well, she escaped with her life.
What's left of it?
I guess, man. That sucks, but still. The driver escaped with relatively minor injuries, but Tui Trong died in the crash due to internal injuries. Unfortunately, joining the 27 Club, which is a mystery for another day. Like her friend Angela, she too was not wearing a seatbelt. Fellow cast member David Yost, who played the Blue Ranger Billy Cranston, stated, quote, "I was so shocked. I remember calling Tui's voicemail a few times after I found out just to hear her voice and leave her a message saying I'll miss her. Learning about her early childhood and everything she and her family went through leaving Vietnam, becoming refugees and immigrating to the United States, I admired her and her family's strength to rebuild their lives here. I'll always remember her great laugh and infectious smile," end quote. Many of her castmates from Mighty Morphin Power Rangers attended her funeral. In 2023, the special Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Once and Always was dedicated in her honor, with Trang's character being spiritually passed on and Trini's daughter, Min Kwan, portrayed by Charlie Kirsch. That's actually pretty fucking cool that they kept her legacy alive by giving her character a daughter in the future of the series, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, she had a fucking amazing life and overcame a lot of odds only to die in one of the fucking dumbest car accidents I've ever heard of, man. It fucking sucks.
Yeah.
The actor who played the Green Ranger Tommy, Jason David Frank, was unable to attend Tui's funeral due to a different tragedy that struck him simultaneously. His older brother, Eric, died of an unspecified illness at the age of 29. Eric had played the long-lost brother of Tommy in Power Rangers Zeo. So in other words, the actor's real brother played the character's brother, and then he too suddenly passed away at roughly the same time that Tui did. Also more on Jason David Frank later.
Skylar Julius DeLeon, who is a child actor who appeared in Mighty Morphin Power Rangers as an uncredited extra back in the early days of the show, committed one of the most heinous crimes imaginable. In 2009, Skylar was convicted in the 2004 murders of Thomas and Jackie Hawks, a couple from Prescott, Arizona, and is currently sitting on death row. According to Wikipedia, Thomas Hawks was a retired probation officer and bodybuilder. He and his second wife, Jackie, owned a 55-foot yacht, the Well Deserved, which they treated as their permanent home and on which they sailed for 2 years around the Pacific Ocean and the Gulf of California. In 2004, they decided to sell their yacht and set up a home in Newport Harbor to be closer to their grandchild. Their advertisement for the yacht sale was answered in November by Skylar DeLeon. The couple was initially cautious of DeLeon, but they became more receptive when DeLeon's then pregnant wife Jennifer and their other child came to the meeting. The Hawks were last seen alive on the morning of November 15th, 2004, heading out of the harbor. The yacht returned, but they did not. Neither body has ever been recovered. This episode's about the Power Rangers, not the brutal killing of Thomas and Jackie Hawks, so you can do your own research if you want, whenever you want. But Skylar has since cut off his penis in prison with a razor blade and is now claiming to be a woman.
What a fucking champion.
Yeah, that guy sounds like he's got real issues.
Yeah, I just want to point out here that this comes kind of from the top of my dome, but I remember watching a show like Dateline or something that covered this case. And basically what happened was that Skylar and two other men went out on the boat with the couple for like a test drive, basically. And then the group just kind of like took over with weapons and stuff, and they tied them both to an anchor and just threw them overboard. Just ice cold.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on here. In March of 2006, Bob Papenbrook, a fellow San Diegan who lent his voice to several characters on the show, including Rito Revolto, the younger brother of Rita Repulsa, died at the age of 50 from chronic lung complications. He is survived by his son, Bryce, who is also a voice actor. It's been so long, I don't really remember that character, do you?
No.
Then Machiko Soga, the Japanese actress who unwittingly played Rita Repulsa, revealed in 2005 that she had been battling pancreatic cancer for the last 2 years. And then in May of 2006, she was found dead in her home by a friend who came to visit her. She was 68 years old. So basically, the voice actor who played her evil brother died in March, and then she herself died about 7 weeks later. Yeah. Coincidence? You decide. Yeah,
maybe. I mean, that's really weird because the actual Japanese actress wasn't, you know, doing what she was doing for the Power Rangers.
Yeah, it was just doing it for, yeah, her show was like being recycled into the Power Rangers.
Yeah. Also in 2006, in September of that year, the actor Edward Albert, who played Mr. Collins, the Red Ranger's dad in Power Rangers Time Force, died of lung cancer at the age of 55, only a few months after being diagnosed.
Yeah.
On December 30th.
Yeah, so hold on. I just want to say, like, another lung-related death here.
Yeah. On December 30th, 2008.
Oh, hold on. By the way, man, I read this online, but the Escondido Canyon was renamed in his honor to the Edward Albert Escondido Trail and Waterfalls. And this was due to him being like an advocate of the environment and the rights of Native Americans. So I thought that was kind of interesting, you know, kind of a local tie to us.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
On December 30th, 2008, Richard Janelle, who was the actor who played Ernie, the owner of the Angel Grove Youth Center that the teenagers would hang out at, passed away from a sudden heart attack at the age of just 47.
Everybody loved Ernie, damn it. In 2010, PETA Rudder, the New Zealand-born actress who played the white Mystic Ranger Udana in the 2006 series Power Rangers Mystic Force, died of a brain tumor at the age of just 50. According to her IMDb page, she began her career as an extra in Strange Behavior in 1981 and ended it on the Power Rangers in 2006. Richard Rabago, the Japanese-American actor and martial arts expert who played the karate master Lee in the episode Plague of the Mantis, passed away at the age of 68 in 2012. No cause of death has ever been publicly released. Yeah, I'm not sure if we can kind of attribute this one to the curse or not, man, but dying at 68, it's too young, but I don't know if it's exactly what I would call untimely either.
Yeah. Maurice Mendoza, the actor who played Richie in season 2, a teenager who was to aid Ernie in running the youth center juice bar, and was even planned to become the love interest of Trini Kwan before Toi Trong abruptly left the show, committed suicide in 2013, apparently due to his schizophrenia. He was just 39 years old. Ricardo Medina Jr., the actor who played the Red Ranger Cole Evans in Power Rangers Wild Force and Decker in Power Rangers Samurai, Super Samurai, stabbed his roommate to death with a samurai sword on February 1st, 2015. According to PowerRangersFandom.com, Medina was arrested for fatally stabbing his roommate, Joshua Sutter, with a katana. Medina had been in an argument with Sutter, which turned physical when Medina stabbed Sutter in the abdomen with a katana kept next to the bedroom door. Sutter was taken to a hospital where he died. After an investigation, Medina was charged with voluntary manslaughter in 2016. During his hearing in 2017, he pleaded guilty and was sentenced to 6 years in prison.
Holy shit, dude. Six years for killing someone with a sword? What the fuck?
Time Force star Jason Font was interviewed by ABC7 News regarding this, where he had revealed he had seen Medina a few months prior to the incident and, quote, he seemed great. He seemed like himself, end quote. Though no news of Medina's release was publicized, his Wild Force co-star Jack Guzman had stated in 2020 that Medina had been released since and is doing well for himself.
Yeah, sounds like he took that samurai shit just a little too seriously, man.
Yep, just a little too far. I'm a samurai Power Ranger, so I got a samurai sword.
We got a fucking samurai sword wielding maniac on the loose again.
Oh, you do?
Well, yeah, he's out of jail. Jesus. All right, anyway, moving on here. Pua, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Pua Magaziva, the Samoan-born New Zealander, fucking another New Zealander here, who played Shane Clark, the Red Wind Ranger in Power Rangers Dino Thunder and Power Rangers Ninja Storm, became embroiled in allegations of domestic violence by his wife Liz Sadler. On May 11th, 2019, at the age of 38, Magaziva committed suicide in a hotel room in Wellington, New Zealand, just 15 days after being convicted of domestic assault from an incident in which he put his wife in a headlock, dragged her by her neck, and spat in her face. What a champion. According to his wife, Liz, he concussed her 3 times and threatened to harm her, himself, or their daughter if she went to the police. According to an article in stuff.co.nz, Magaziva had been struggling with childhood trauma and alcohol abuse prior to his death, and using it as a coping mechanism for his anger leading up to his death. He began to see a registered alcohol and drug clinician in 2018 to find the origins of his quote-unquote problematic alcohol use. According to his clinician, Magaziva had an extensive history of accumulated grief along with trust issues and problems managing his emotions due to childhood trauma and had indicators of post-traumatic stress disorder. On the night of his suicide, Magaziva had, of course, violently victimized his wife, Liz. We're not going to get into the details of it on this episode, but in a nutshell, he accused her of infidelity, he physically assaulted her, and then by the time she was done washing the blood out of her hair in the shower, he was dead. And as a side note, we couldn't determine exactly how he killed himself. I'm not sure if that was released publicly.
Wow. Just wow.
Just a fucked up story, man.
That is a fucked up story. It's a fucked up person. You know what the other fucked up part is? It said that This happened 15 days after he was convicted of domestic assault. Why was he still free?
Why was he allowed to be with his wife again that soon? That's the fucking weird part to me.
You were just convicted, proven guilty of beating your wife. And 15 days later, you're in a hotel beating your wife, you know?
The liquor's calling the shots now, Randy.
In spring of 2022, Austin St. John, whose legal name is Jason Lawrence Geiger, the actor who played Jason the Red Ranger in the original series, was arrested and charged in a scheme involving government pandemic relief funds. In an article from Deadline.com, St. John was one of 18 people to be charged with filing fraudulent applications for loans from the Paycheck Protection Program. They then allegedly transferred the money to the scheme's ringleaders. Allegedly, St. John obtained more than $400,000 in fraudulent Triple P loans.
PPP. Just say PPP.
PPP loans. Allegedly, St. John obtained more than $400,000 in fraudulent PPP loans and faces a potential sentence of up to 20 years in prison. The Justice Department named Michael Hill and Andrew Moran as the alleged leaders of the scheme. Quote, Hill is alleged to have recruited co-conspirators to use an existing business or create a business to submit applications to obtain PPP funding, end quote, according to a Justice Department press release. Quote, once enlisted, Moran is alleged to have assisted his co-conspirators with the application paperwork, including fabricating supporting documentation and submitting the application through the online portals, end quote. The combined total of the defendants allegedly obtained from the government came to $3.5 million. In a statement from St. John's lawyer, St. John's lawyer said he pled not guilty. Quote, an indictment is not evidence of guilt. End quote. David a lawyer representing St. John said, quote, all defendants are presumed innocent and Mr. St. John intends to vigorously defend himself against this allegation, end quote. St. John, age 47, now 49, has appeared in various Power Rangers shows over the years, including a guest spot in the 2020 TV show Power Rangers Beast Morphers.
Yeah, so this one hits the hardest for me because the red one was my favorite ranger and he's apparently a fraudster.
Yeah. Finally, also in November of 2022, Jason David Frank, who played the original Green Ranger Tommy Oliver, as well as a couple other variations in future series, was found dead in his hotel room after committing suicide. According to his wife Tammy, he had been struggling with depression. Rumors had swirled just prior to his death that he would be returning to the 2023 reboot, but he had repeatedly denied it. On the YouTube channel Mr. Weenie Productions, a close friend of Frank's revealed that he had declined to participate in the reunion due to an alleged history of lies, broken promises, and uncredited idea theft by Hasbro and Haim Saban, the creator of the show.
I wonder if that had anything to do with his suicide.
Maybe.
Shit, man. I mean, for me, I don't know how you felt about the Green Ranger, but he was like a close second favorite for me.
Well, yeah, so I think when the Green Ranger came out, it was suddenly my favorite Ranger because green was my favorite color as a kid, right? And he was this like rogue, extra badass Ranger that you know, wasn't a part of like the core five. You know, he was this lone wolf.
Kind of like an outlaw.
Yeah.
Fuck. Well, I guess let's conclude our story here. The Mighty Morphin Power Rangers were instrumental for many kids who grew up in the 90s, as it's difficult to imagine how we would have survived our horrific childhoods without it. They brought us giant-ass battle robots from Japan all the way across the Pacific Ocean, and delighted those of us who watched Fox Kids in the early to mid-90s. Its larger-than-life legacy becoming a monster of its own that even Rita Repulsa would be envious of, with countless spin-off series and movie adaptations. Today, over 30 years since its original airing, it continues to be a fond memory for those of us who are now in their 30s and has stood the test of time, lasting long enough for multiple generations of fans to enjoy. But despite the fond memories, a deadly curse may be lingering over the show, inflicting tragedy upon so many of those who are involved in it. But is it really a curse, or just a coincidence? Alright man, are you ready to try and solve this sumbitch once and for all?
I am ready.
Do you have any thoughts about this one, man? Because I am fucking stumped. I really don't know what to think about this one. The only thing that I can really say about this one is that if this show had so many actors and actresses that were just in and out, so the sample size of actors is bigger than other shows, and it would seem like, well, more tragedy would be likely to happen. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you have a wider sample size of people to pull from. But at the same time, it's like, this is happening to some of the main characters too. It's not just people in the periphery.
True. But, well, you know, 30 years is a lot of time to pass for things to happen in people's lives, you know,
you've got like two or three of them just straight up killing themselves, and two of them in hotel rooms. You've got two of them dying from lung related illnesses. Shit, man. It's just like, it is a hell of a coincidence.
Yeah. But I think it is just coincidence, you know, because like you said, it's a huge sample size. I think it's numbers, you know.
So all Power numbers Rangers
has been going on for 30 years, all these different renditions, you know, tens of thousands of people involved in Power Rangers over the last 30 years, mm-hmm. if not more. You know, it would be like, you know, oh, how many people have met with untimely deaths or weird accidents or tragedies that have competed on Wheel of Fortune? You know, you know, it's just, yeah, it's just a huge sample size. Yeah, no, I think it's numbers.
Do you think it's all coincidence? There's no paranormal shit happening here.
I don't think so, man. And I think a couple of those examples were really just grabbing at straws too.
I think that says a lot too, because you're the guy on the show who typically just jumps at the idea of shit having a supernatural explanation.
Yeah, no. When I started looking into this, you know, my first thought, you know, especially when it comes to, like, the main characters, I was like, oh wow, maybe there's something to this. And then, like, reading most of the examples, you know, just weird side characters and even a couple of people with, you know, uncredited, mm-hmm. you know, appearances, like Skyler, the guy that murdered two people
and then cut off his dick.
Yeah, his only tie to Power Rangers was an uncredited extra as a child.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, how do we even know he was in Power Rangers if it was uncredited?
Well, yeah, we know, it's just he didn't appear in the credits. I think that's what they mean by uncredited.
Yeah. Yeah. But like I said, a lot of that, I think, was just grasping at straws to try to pile up even more things into this curse of the Power Rangers.
I do think that it is statistically odd that so many of these, like, I mean, we've got the guy who played Zordon. We've got Tui Trong. We've got, who else? All like a handful of these just main characters, these people who are indisposable. Is that the right word here? That just died. Ernie, maybe. The guy who played Ernie, Richard Janelle.
Yeah.
Just untimely deaths prior to the age of 50, you know?
Yeah.
It's fucked up, man. And I think it is coincidence, but I do think that it's like, it's kind of a hell of a coincidence at the same time. But it's kind of like a multiple factors playing together here. It's like, yeah, it is like coincidental that all of this is happening. But at the same time, it is like a large sample size. And
yeah, and it's strung out over decades as well.
Yeah. 30 years is a long time for bad shit to happen to people.
To a lot of people. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, huge sample size and a pretty decent chunk of timeline.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. I would say that this is probably coincidence. But man, some of these fucking hit pretty fucking hard, man.
Yeah.
Anyway, man, do you have anything else you want to say about this one?
I don't think so. You know, that was really cool revisiting the Power Rangers, though. That was a blast from the past watching that first episode. So many memories came rushing back.
Same here, man. Like, I think I watched 3 episodes to prepare myself for this one. And man, like it was a little bit more emotional than I thought it would be. And I say that completely, completely seriously. All right, man, do you have any apologies, clarifications, or shout outs to make today?
You know what? I think I just want to shout out to Toytron. You know, that the original Yellow Ranger, that is a human being that went through basically hell, you know, surviving the Vietnam War as a kid and barely surviving getting out of there just to go to a Hong Kong detention camp, essentially, right before immigrating to the US with her family, all foreigners, probably nothing to their name, you know, and then becoming, you know, not just the original Yellow Ranger, but being a part of the original Power Rangers that is still trucking today, and then dying basically the most unfortunate of deaths in just a random car accident.
Yeah, I'd agree, man. So I got kind of a similar shout out. I'd like to just give a shout out to all the Power Rangers homies that we've lost, but in particular, the folks from the original. So Robert L. Manahan, who played Zordon, Tui Trong, as you just mentioned, who played Trini Kwan, the original Yellow Ranger, Bob Papenbrook, who did a lot of the voice acting on the show, Machigo Soga, who played Rita, and then Richard Janelle, who played Ernie. So pour some of your 40 out for them if you haven't already. They may be gone, but they're forever in our hearts. Secondly, I'd like to just give a quick shout out to the Washbrook Show for recording the voiceover for our intro on this episode. So go seek out his wisdom on YouTube, TikTok, and Instagram. Lastly, this doesn't really fit exactly into the normal apologies, shoutouts, clarification section, but I'd like to just take a moment to talk directly to Austin St. John, the actor who played the original Red Ranger in the series, who later allegedly defrauded us, the taxpayers, out of pandemic relief funds, because I know he's out there somewhere listening to this. So what I'd like is for everyone who is not Austin St. John to please turn your volume all the way down for a couple minutes or so, and I'll tell you when you can turn it back up. All right, volume is down, right? All right, good. Am I missing something here or what, Austin? I don't get it. I don't understand this. You were my hero. I had you and Tui and David on my TV screen countless times. After school, Thanksgiving, birthdays. I trusted you, you bastard. If you were sitting next to me right now, I'd reach over and wring your neck. But I'm not going to do that. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to quote a much wiser man than myself, because he can help me articulate my thoughts better than I can. So the following comes from Phil Collins' lead single from his 1981 debut solo album. Quote, "Well, if you told me you were drowning, I would not lend a hand. I've seen your face before, my friend, but I don't know if you know who I am. Well, I was there, and I saw what you did. I saw it with my own 2 eyes. So you can wipe off that grin. I know where you've been. It's all been a pack of lies. Well, I remember. I remember, don't worry. How could I ever forget? It's the first time, the last time we ever met. But I know the reason why you keep the silence up. No, you don't fool me. The hurt doesn't show, but the pain still grows. It's no stranger to you and me." End quote. All right, guys, you can turn your volume back up. Well, that's about all I've got. You got anything else, man, or are you ready to get out of here?
I'm ready to get out of here.
Like sands through the hourglass, so too are the minutes of our podcast. But don't fret, dear listener. We'll be back again to breathe new life into an old mystery next time.
Remember, folks, the truth is out there, somewhere in the ether. And through our powers combined, we'll solve that sumbitch once and for all.
This is Super Mystery Bros.
Just a heads up, I did eat Taco Bell today, so there is a slight chance that I might have to just stop the episode dead in its tracks before I shit myself. You know, I feel fine now, but that could change at any moment.
Does that normally happen to you when you eat Taco Bell?
Yeah. Doesn't that normally happen to everyone?
Well, I'm just asking, like, if that happens to you every time, why do you even bother with it in the first place?
Oh, I don't know. I eat Taco Bell like 3 or 4 times a year.
I gotcha. Dude, actually, when I was like 6 or 7 years old, I got super fucking sick off Taco Bell. And I got some severe food poisoning, dude. Just like projectile vomiting and just like sharting myself and shit. And fuck, dude. It took me like a decade before I touched Taco Bell again.
yeah, it's pretty rare, but the guy I was working with today, he was kind of just like talking it up, and I was like, you know what, I haven't had Taco Bell in a while, let's try that out.
Gotcha. Yeah, it happened, man. Sometimes you gotta eat Taco Bell.
Yeah.
nothing you can do about it.
Sometimes Taco Bell eats you from the inside out.
Yep.